Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Oh, okay, I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns. And then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets? I think we need a jacket here. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some tragic casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when in fact, you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff.
Meryl Streep there in The Devil Wears Prada. That was the hit movie, which was said to be based on the formidable fashion icon Anna Wintour. Well, with news this morning, after almost 4 decades as editor-in-chief, Anna Wintour is stepping down from her iconic role at the helm of the fashion Bible Vogue. Let's get more on this now. I'm joined on the line by Don O'Neill, Irish fashion designer. Hello, Don.
Good morning, Claire. How are you this morning?
I'm very well, and it's great to have you with us because I know you have a little insight into Anna Wintour, which we'll be fascinated to hear in a moment. But I mean, I know you spent many years in New York in the fashion industry designing for the stars. So this news amongst your community, was it expected? I mean, she is a woman who's 75 now, or was it something of a surprise today?
I think it might have been expected and also a surprise because for so many of us, Anna has been with us for our entire careers. And as you know, she's been at the helm of Vogue for since 1988. So it's a lifetime really of one woman sort of shaping the entire fashion world as we know it. The brand of Vogue, even for me as a young fella growing up, that magazine was sort of the fashion Bible. And there was a reason that it was the fashion Bible. And when Anna took the helm in 1988, I think she continued with the brand. And I think her secret was the fact that she saw it as a brand and she began reinventing it in her own way back then and obviously has put a very, very significant stamp upon it and a huge stamp on the fashion world where the magazine, not only is the magazine revered, but Anna was feared and revered, well, which is really important.
Yeah, well, it is. And let's talk about that fear. I mean, we heard the Devil Wears Prada clip there. She had that reputation, didn't she, for being ruthless. In your experience, what was she like?
I got to meet Anna personally once, and that was at her home in New York. And it was when Samantha Barry became editor-in-chief, our editor of Glamour magazine.
Yeah.
And there was a wonderful party, and Sam invited me to the party that night. And I had never met Anna in person, and I was really nervous to meet her. And I was one of the first to arrive, and we arrived at her beautiful townhouse. And at the top of the stairs, Sam greeted me with a big hug. And standing in the room were only 2 people at that early stage, and it was Anna Wintour basically standing in the middle of the room. And I was like really nervous, but I walked towards her, hand out, and she put out her hand to greet me. And basically, I went in to kiss her as you would on each cheek. And as I reached to her left cheek, she sort of sidestepped a little bit. And then as I automatically swerved around to the other cheek, she did this graceful twirl under my arm and sort of disappeared.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, fashion faux pas. But anyway, I got over that. And later on in the evening, I was chatting with Michael Kors and his husband. And Anna came over and joined us and we were talking about theatre. And she was really so grateful that I came and so grateful to see the Irish community that had come out that night to support Sam. And she was so genuinely excited to have Samantha on board as the new face of Glamour magazine, which was one of her very bold choices to bring Sam in from CNN at the time to reinvent the magazine. And that just goes to show her cultural foresight in where media and publishing was going and how she was reinventing the world as she saw it.
Okay, and of course we're also proud of Sam because she's one of our own. But she dodged the kiss, but then she came back for the chat later on.
She did, and I guess you know, there are protocols at that level, and little Donna knew, who was the overly enthusiastic Irishman about to make my big impression on Anna, it wasn't appropriate at the time.
But what I also want to know is, what was her house like?
Exquisite. And what I loved about Anna's house, and what surprised me at the time, it was really homey and comfortable.
I'm surprised to hear that.
I was expecting something stark and uber modern and cold, and instead it was just huge oversized stuffed sofas and warm. Her favorite flowers are peonies, and they were absolutely everywhere. It was a really warm, inviting home, and she didn't invite people lightly to her home. And the fact that we got to be there on that night was something super special. So there were two sides to Anna, and that night we got to see the really loving, warm side, which people might be surprised to hear.
Because people were terrified of her, weren't they, when she was in charge?
Well, you know what? Being a fashion designer and knowing my own ego and how precious we feel our egos are, and we're all a little bit fragile, and we can be a bit overly dramatic, and multiply that by tens of thousands of designers that are equally overly dramatic with each of our own visions of what the world should be or what fashion should look like. And I read, actually earlier this morning, something that really resonated with me. She had aesthetic authority with emotional distance. And that's exactly what she was. She had a precise vision of what fashion should be. And she had that emotional distance where she could make what seemed like a cold-hearted decision, what's in, what's out. She had no time to be dilly-dallying or inflating people's egos. She made a decision and she moved on. And I think that's what scared people. You could be Karl Lagerfeld and she go, nope, don't like it, and moves on. And you're like, your ego is deflated because Anna didn't love it, but Anna makes a decision, Anna moves on.
And just going back to what we heard in that clip where she's explaining that, you know, the jumper that you pick that you think might be a kickback against everything that's going on in fashion, if you trace things back, even now, they're all directly related to decisions that she and people at that level in fashion have made at some point in the recent past. Do you agree with that?
And I absolutely love that scene because it seems so condescending, but it really is what her job is. And Anna, fashion comes first, and it's sanctusant for her. There is no dilly-dallying. For her, fashion comes first, and then it was the Vogue brand, obviously. But she is a prodigy, and she could sift through all of that information and then hone in on what she felt was truly important and what mattered, and make that statement through the magazine, through her editorials. And she felt she was doing, I don't think you would say a public service, but she was doing a service to the world of fashion, bringing us the absolute best, whether it was a silhouette, it was a color, it was a trend. Anna believed in something 100%. And then she had her team around her to make that happen. And I don't know if anyone has seen the documentary, the September issue. Grace Coddington was one of her top editors, creating editorial content for her. And Grace herself was a genius and would have fabulous visions of how things should be seen. And her editorials were amazing. But there are times when she came to Anna and Anna's like, nope. And Grace would be like, no, this has to happen. And Anna's like, absolutely not. There would be huge rows where the two were never again talking to each other. And then Anna might slowly come around and eventually Grace would get her way, or they would find a compromise. But Anna was tough on her staff, but she only wanted the best from everybody. And they respected and appreciated that.
Yeah, she sounds supremely confident in her vision and her ability to see what she felt was right. And she wouldn't be moved from that either.
Wouldn't budge. I mean, actually, she has admitted herself that there are times when she will budge, but you really need to make a compelling case to convince Anna otherwise. It's brand building. It's really important.
And she will still be part of that brand, won't she? Because she's going to stay in charge of Globe or of Vogue globally, and then she'll be chief content officer of the wider media Condé Nast company. So she's staying on board.
Well, I have a new title for her. I think she's becoming the Empress of Condé Nast. She has ascended through the ranks and she is now the Empress, and she will oversee all and everything. So yes, she'll oversee American Vogue and all of the other titles, but also she can keep her focused on the future of Condé Nast. And as you know, media has changed so much. It's moved so far away from print and social media, and there are so many different worlds that Condé Nast, there's the Met Gala, there's all these things that they oversee that are so important to the brand of Condé Nast, and obviously with fashion front and foremost. And it's how you pivot and continue to pivot on a daily basis. And I think there's no one more informed than Anna Wintour to be able to pivot and keep fashion moving forward.
Yeah, and of course she came up with the whole Met Gala concept as well, and so much more. Don, lovely to talk to you, and thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on Anna Wintour. She steps down from the day-to-day editorship of Vogue magazine. Don O'Neill is an Irish fashion designer.